Hey, this is Joel Widmer from Flux Digital Marketing, and today we have Rob as my special guest. Rob is I call him a serial entrepreneur, and I'll have him tell you more, but he is a serial social entrepreneur, more correctly. And we're going to be talking about how embracing technology and the web has changed, not only changed, but grown his business incredibly. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great, Joel. Thanks for having me today.
Definitely. So tell us about, you have an absolutely incredible story. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you got here.
Gotcha. Well, I offer a pretty broad range of consulting options, often by gentle interrogation. I use questions a lot to kind of draw out an understanding, hoping to create some clarity of where we're going, create some orderly thought and some action steps. And I kind of just now referred back to my LinkedIn profile where it says, you know, I offer C-level executive services. And I often will find myself serving in kind of an interim executive role for startups, sometimes turnarounds, but always at some inflection point where there's a big gap from where the entity is, and the founder or board is, and where they want to go. And I do that nonprofit and for profit. You were saying my background is interesting. My background for many years, 10 plus years, was finance and real estate. Growing up, I thought I wanted to be a pastor. Had a bit of a justice chip, so I like to work with at-risk kids, inner-city youth groups, that sort of thing. Kind of stumbled into business by accident. Was really thrilled to learn that business was what I call a contact sport, on the front lines affording good things, missions that are powered by a free market. Over the years, I've had some success that I guess we can dig into a little bit. But after selling my interests in several of these ventures, mortgage, real estate brokerage companies that I founded, I've also gotten into commercial real estate development, some capital market stuff. But like I said, the last 3 years, I've done a lot of consulting. I'm a results-oriented guy, so I'm usually looking at some sort of behavioral change, some sort of business development. I'm tapping into some sort of latent opportunity, going beyond just dialogue, but actually executing, implementing some sort of action plan. I like to help my clients to think better, to know what's going on better, to do better. And so often we'll just structure various outcomes that we consider success, create our strategies and our action points based on those.
I know just from knowing you for a while that that's just a tiny piece of the pie, and there's so much to you. I just feel like it doesn't do justice, but I think that gives us a great starting point. So what really made you realize that you needed to embrace those changes that were happening with the web and just the way people did business in general?
Excellent. Well, when I got started in business, we're talking mid-90s, so a lot of the web itself was relatively new to businesses trying to figure out how to interact with customers and each other. But the whole time that I was working in, whether it was the mortgage business, the real estate, even commercial development and brokerage, I was embracing technologies that were completely disrupting traditional practices in each industry. And if you like, I could kind of give you a couple of quick examples.
Please.
I started one of the first online mortgage applications that, you know, nowadays we think of LendingTree and other, and obvious, you know, this is mainstay, but back in 1996, nobody did this. I actually branded and trademarked the Mortgage Guy .com and marketed that. I was one of the first early adopters in a process called desktop underwriting that allowed me as a small broker, mom and pop shop, to wholesale to the national wholesale lenders, approving loans in minutes. And this allowed us to build a very solid referral stream from builder and realtor firm clients, and actually propelled us to be the number one lender in our market at the time. Later, I got involved in residential real estate and owning and running brokerage firms, and I learned how to use technology to train realtors, to recruit quality folks, to learn about what was going on in the market and help them market through websites and things. Again, this is all mainstream now, but at the time it was still somewhat new to consider online content, community development strategies to recruit top tier talent or to grow a productive and profitable real estate office, which we did. Again, the most profitable office in Nashville with a great brand and a wonderful culture. When I got into commercial real estate, I brokered property and I focused mostly on multifamily, but I did some retail development. And I created, again, in commercial real estate, I just took what I learned in residential and created individual websites for every property, including document vaults where people could do due diligence if they had a username and password. This allowed me to really expedite due diligence process and to engage a greater brokerage community. I offered 50-50 commissions on every listing every time, which was a disruptive model, which allowed me to basically crowdsource deals, engaging the entire brokerage community that was representing various buyers. This allowed me to create maximum value to all my clients, and I could sell property faster and for top dollar than most of my competitors because I used technology to get the word out and to share the details of each deal. This allowed us to grow that firm quickly. In our first year, we were the top 10% volume-wise nationwide. So it's pretty extraordinary how to use technology early to get mortgage applications, faster approval processes, then in real estate to help realtors build their market share, to get training equipped to build their businesses, kind of a turnkey process for CMR and that sort of thing. And then later in commercial and development, technology has been a good friend of mine.
Incredible. One of the things I always like to ask, because I really want our audience to understand, a lot of people get caught up in, you know, when trying to embrace technology and move with it instead of against it, mm-hmm. is, you know, I need to know the technical part of these, like, I just don't know that, so I just can't figure it out, or I, you know, they get caught up on the wrong thing. Was there a particular paradigm or perspective shift that happened to you, or that, you know, you continually keep, like, what perspectives are you,
yeah.
you know, looking at things from that helps you embrace technology and really leverage it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I'm thinking of outliers as you ask this question, because I think it's just a function of my age. I was young. I was 22, and right when technology was starting to revolutionize the way people shared information, shopped, did business, I was just getting into these industries, and I didn't have much to unlearn. I can't tell you how many times established firms, banks, et cetera, told me that'll never happen. You know, people will always want to meet with their loan officer or, you know, that's not going to work. You know, you have to meet face to face. And I just didn't know enough to believe them. I thought, why? You know, this streamlines it. As a customer, I would like to do it this way. I don't want to spend hours in the office if I don't need to. If I can fill out a form online, why wouldn't I? And so I think it was just timing for me and maybe a little bit of teachability to not know better and just to keep trying new things, green light what worked. I did a lot of things wrong. You know, I goofed up a lot. But I think for me, the paradigm was it was okay to fail. I wasn't too big to be concerned about reputation or traditional ways of doing it. I sort of enjoyed the disruptive nature of innovation. So I think there's a part of me that was just naturally bent towards it, and then the timing just was right.
That's fantastic. I love what you said about you were young, but that you didn't use that against you. You know, you knew that you didn't have a lot to unlearn or old habits, you know, to kill. You were teachable. You didn't know better, and you didn't have a lot to lose. But even with people who feel like they might have a lot to lose or whatever, that they have to give up some kind of control.
Yeah.
So many people struggle with that when trying to adopt new habits. How do you approach that even now?
That's excellent. I think that a lot of successful, well-established folks, and I can't help but think of older generations. When I say older, I'm thinking 40 and above. these guys, I don't envy them because they have old paradigms of management style from the industrial revolution point of view of command and control, from how to control messaging, how to control a business plan or an operation. It doesn't work. And I really think they are struggling with an illusion of control. But I see, from my point of view, again, being young enough to see a lot of change and to embrace a lot of changes, participation is the key. Participation is influence. On the online side of things, generosity wins hands down every time. That's how you're going to gain friends. That's how you're going to influence conversations. And I always sought to find a way to align healthy self-interest so that all the players involved were able to win. You know, we talk about win-win, but I used to have a mantra, win-win or no deal. And you remember, I was 22 when I started my first mortgage company, and I was so blessed. I had top veteran talent with me, and I saw it as my job to take care of them. So I wasn't like a boss who thought he was in control. I understood my job was to provide an infrastructure for them to succeed. My job was to serve them. And I think also because of my background and all the training and experience I've had in sales, I understand that the customer is king. The customer is in control. So the whole online thing is just another acceleration and magnification of what I already knew to be true from my experience. And so this comes down to me, meaning conversations are the relationship, engagement is everything, like I mentioned before. Business is a contact sport, it's a social animal. So one of the keys for me is to get into the habit of listening. And the more you listen, the more you know your niche, the more you understand opportunities, and you can exploit those, benefit from those, and create new opportunities that didn't previously exist because this sort of technology or this sort of ability to engage lots of people, it wasn't there 15, 20 years ago.
Right. You're also a huge reader. We were talking about this before we started recording, and yeah, you were talking about reading has been a critical part as well as keeping your perspectives and keeping teachable. Tell us about how much you read and what type of stuff you read to keep sharp.
Yeah, that's great. I am definitely a active learner, educator. I'm very much drawn to the process of learning and sharing ideas. If you do strength finders and these sorts of assessments, that'll be one of my themes. I'm a strategic thinker. I'm an active learner, and I'm driven. So I consume information like nobody's business. I read a lot. Any given time, I'm probably reading 4 to 5 books, easily read 75 or more books a year. And like everybody, I'm reading blogs. I'm clicking through links and meeting people through Twitter, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, all of those things. So online, I use Evernote a lot for curating and organizing materials around different channels or notebooks that I've created. And I cruise through that quite a bit. But I'm still old school where I actually read a lot of books. But I also read ebooks and PDF files and blogs and all the rest. But for me, I have these different channels that are tied to different areas that I'm learning in or are tied to different areas of interest that I know friends of mine are interested in. And so I share with them and they share with me, and it kind of helps kind of vet what I should be reading at any given point.
That's great. There's a level of wisdom and learning that you get from books that you just don't get from blogs. Blogs are like appetizers, they're bite-sized, but they can't get as deep as books can. They can't take that deep dive and really get into things. So I really think that's huge. You just can't learn what you can learn. If you're reading just blogs, you're missing out. There are books, people have great things to say still. There are completed ideas. It's a level of wisdom that you just don't get with consuming these short pieces of information on the internet.
Yeah, and there's different kinds of reading, just like there's different kinds of television programming. There's documentaries, you know, my Netflix, you know, there's different things I'm reading and viewing for different reasons. I think it's the thing I love about blogs is it's very cutting edge. It's very up to date. There are a lot of books, though, that have timeless truths and that are just excellent for centering you and reminding you of your filter, your worldview, basic principles, and they're also good collections. You know, I'm thinking of a book that you had referred from Wiley, you know, Content Rules. I mean, that's a collection of a lot of different blogs, basically, over time that cover real basic premises of how to create killer blogs and podcasts and videos and ebooks and webinars and engage customers. You could read a bunch of blogs and pull that together yourself. But if you want a quick reference, I can pull that out and quickly find my way according to the table of contents of what I'm looking for right then and there. So I think there's a time and a place for blogs, but I do still remember my age. I still believe in underlining and writing in the margins and earmarking, and I have a pretty extensive library at home. But I also have a lot of books on electronics and stuff. So I think they're both good, but I think you make some valid points.
I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. We haven't talked about this one, this question. I didn't go over it with you before this, but you're not only fantastic at keeping up with people online, but you're an incredible networker and connector offline as well. And that has really served you well. You talk about generosity. Give us some tips, if you wouldn't mind, just about keeping up with relationships. It seems like you know everybody, and I don't know how you do it. I would love for some insight on that.
Well, I consider that a compliment. I love people, and I'm naturally curious person. I think that's part of that learner part of me. I'm a social person. If you do a DISC psychometric on me, I'm off the charts D, real close to off the charts I, which is my interpersonal. I get fulfilled meeting and talking and connecting people. I love the social initiative required of leadership. And it just brings me great joy to meet new people and as a relator to make new friends. And I have a great satisfaction when I can deepen existing relationships as well. So, it's such a big world. When I stumbled into Facebook because of my son, who's now, he actually turns 19 today, and he's headed off to college here in a couple weeks. But my experience with Facebook was just to kind of monitor what he was doing. And this really brings up an interesting point, a sidebar maybe, is I think that new media and social media and conversations like this really just magnify what's already there. So if you're an outgoing social animal, this is just going to magnify that. If you really genuinely care about people and connecting people and learning about what their interests are, then that's just going to be magnified. And you're going to build great big communities of engagement naturally, because that's who you are. If you're shy or introverted or on your own mission, that's going to come across too. You know, I think that, so for me, online, offline, all online does is magnify what you are offline. If you're a good guy, you're going to be even have a bigger eye. It's kind of like having a microphone. What you say to one person just gets louder because there's more people able to hear it and maybe speak back to you and you're interacting with more people. But for me, there's a great book. You know, I'm always pointing out books, but Never Eat Alone is a good one. And it's about how to keep in touch with a lot of people in a sincere way. But I naturally, when I read an article, I immediately think, who else do I know? I might tweet about it or share it in some way, but I'm often personal. I, more times than not, am sharing things with individuals in a personal way because I know it's up their alley. Mm-hmm. And like just today, I've introduced two friends for a lunch. Guy's moved to Nashville. He's in transition, and I knew someone who knew his space well. And I could introduce him to five more people real quickly just because I know this area. You know, I know this town. And you do that a lot, it always comes back. You know, you reap what you sow. So if you dig wells before you're thirsty, you can always draw on them later. And if you're helping a lot of people, then you have a lot of people who want to help you or at least stay in contact with you.
That's amazing advice. You've given us so much. I can think of a million things I need to do differently or things that I could be doing better. But is there any other actionable insights mm-hmm. that you can give to people or, you know, people in businesses who are trying to move forward and embrace these new forms of communication, whether that's social media or technology, to better connect with their audience. Do you have any more insights?
Yeah, absolutely. When you say connect with their audience, again, the sales training experience for me is listen. Listen more. Listen more to your target audience. And so figure out, if you don't know how to, find someone who can help you, but go where they already are. Participate, listen, and share. If need be, find yourself a mentor or a mastermind group of folks that are learning this with you. You know, Joel, a little plug for you. I mean, you have been generous with me. The time that we've spent together and the amount of money that I've invested in engaging you has been well spent. I've received a multiple return on and would highly recommend you to anybody as a friend or mentor in this space. But if I didn't already say it enough, I'd say listen more. It really bears repeating. I recently heard someone use or read someone use the word, learn how to read digital body language. I love that metaphor.
Ooh.
Because in face-to-face, no sales, we're trained to watch for tells. You know, those tells that show you someone's interested. It could be a smile or a nod, maybe even early objections to a behavior or a sale that you're trying to move someone towards. These are all digital body language things you need to learn how to produce or monitor. And you can do that with white pages or slide shares or blog comments or newsletter signups, but just learn to listen. Don't be a broadcaster, be a conversationalist. And because people are always expressing their interest or dissatisfaction, so engage them. And I think if you do that, if your listeners do that, they'll figure it out. I mean, we are in an age, an information age, and most of us are knowledge workers. And to me, that means conversations are the work, conversations are the relationship. So let's set about to have more meaningful and more productive conversations internally within our own organizations, business to business, or business to customer. It's all the same. So does that help, Joel? I really appreciated this call today. It's challenged me in some ways to get back to my basics.
Well, it very much helps, and thank you so much for the kind words. And I think one of the things I really get out of that from the very beginning, when you were creating apps and creating websites that did things that have never been done before until now, where you went from keeping tabs on your kids on Facebook to maxing out the friend limit on Facebook, you aren't waiting for someone to show you every single little step. You are just going out and you're experimenting and doing it yourself. And that really is something you can't teach. It's something you have to want to do. You are a social person by nature. It's amplified online.
Yeah.
And you just go for it.
Yeah, that's good.
That's incredible. But Rob, thank you so much. This has been incredible. And please tell us where people can find you if they want to connect.
Sure. If you wanna reach me on Twitter, it's just tweets. You know, so just tweets. If you want to find me on LinkedIn, my handle's Good Neighbor Foundation. You can look me up there as well.
Great. Thank you so much, and I'll make sure to put links to those in my blog post.
Great.
Thank you, Rob.
Hey, Joel. Have a great day.
You too.